What is up, everybody? You are tuned in to KZSC Santa Cruz, 88.1 FM. I'm your host, DJ Dostoevsky. Hailing from the Bay, both Tacloban City and San Lorenzo, Ruby Ibarra is an MC who released her debut album, Circa 91, in 2017 under Beat Rock Music. Ruby has made a name for herself, having performed on Team Backpack and Shady 45, the latter of which she debuted her mixtape Lost in Translation on and was interviewed by Kay Slay. She has been covered from multiple news outlets, including XXL, NPR, and the Huffington Post for her impactful lyricism and dedication to the culture. Some of her hit singles include Game Up, Us, Do-Si-Do, and more. She has collaborated with the likes of Bamboo, Rocky Rivera, Dumbfounded, and most recently, SZA, as a part of a promotional campaign with MasterCard. Ladies and gentlemen, live at KZSC Santa Cruz, I am in studio with Ruby Ibarra on the line. Ruby, how are you doing?
Hey, what up, Tim? Thank you for having me. What's up, Santa Cruz, KZSC? This is Ruby.
Hey, Ruby.
Honored to be here.
I'm honored to have you, honestly. Let's go ahead and just ease into the interview. So what have you been listening to lately?
I've actually been listening to a whole wide array of different music. I think since I've been in the midst of just performing and just touring across the country, I've finally been able to kind of take a step back from my own, you know, creativity and kind of get a listen for what's out there. And honestly, I've been listening to a lot of JID these last couple months. I've been listening to a lot of Boogie, Schoolboy Q's new album that dropped, Crash Talk, that's pretty much consumed like my past week and a half. And just this just a couple days ago, or I think just this weekend actually, Tyler the Creator dropped Igor, so I'm still trying to absorb that album. But yeah, it's just a whole lot of different artists, and still listening to a lot of Aminé too. I really dig a lot of his work.
Yeah, and you know, I actually picked up Igor just this last weekend. I thought it was pretty all right. Definitely not as good as Flower Boy, though. I thought Flower Boy was far superior. So, second question I'm just going to throw out there. Who are the five MCs you consider the most influential on your artistry and your career overall?
So, artists that I think are most influential in my career thus far have been, first and foremost, Wu-Tang. I think if for the people that have listened to a lot of my older work, like the Lost in Translation mixtape, I attribute a lot of my technical style and, you know, the delivery and just the way that the rhymes are structured off of just listening to, you know, 36 Chambers nonstop as a kid. And definitely Eminem, you know, when it comes to rhyme schemes and, you know, the multisyllabic flow, the introduction all the way down to me studying, you know, that component of emceeing, it will always, you know, hats off, respect, always go to Eminem. I think for me, he's my favorite lyricist of all time. Number three would be Lauryn Hill. I tell people all the time over and over again, you know, Miseducation of Lauryn Hill changed my life, and you know, I was introduced to that album during like my formative teenage years. I think without an album like that, you know, where, you know, it's just so raw, so unfiltered, there would never, ever have been a Circa 91 without, you know, that album existing. And I think, you know, Lauryn Hill is still today, as much as she is celebrated, I think she is an underrated MC, you know, for the skills and for the storytelling that she brought into the game. So
yeah,
Lauren's
absolutely
definitely up there for me. And four and five would be I think Lupe Fiasco. You know, we had this conversation earlier, Tim, when you were at the show, but you know, I talk about Lupe too in a lot of my in a lot of the songs that I've written. And yeah, Lupe is just another great lyricist. You know, when I think about people or artists that have influenced my style, I think a lot of the times it really comes down to their pen game. I'm the type of artist type of MC who's always been very adamant about honing my craft, and you know, I really take the songwriting aspect of it seriously, and that's just, I think, also due to the fact that, you know, I grew up in the 90s, and that was just the era of rap that I was introduced to, where if you want to be on the mic, you need to either come with it or not even, you know, you're not even going to be spitting, or you don't have the, you shouldn't be on using the platform if you're not coming with your A-game. So,
right, you need to be coming guns blazing, just everything. Yeah.
Every time, it's like you need to bring your A game every time, and that's the mentality that I've always tried to bring, not only in the songs that I've released, but also, you know, in my performances and like the Team Backpack and the Cyphers that I've been part of. And that's just, I think, also coupled with the fact that I grew up in the Bay Area, where a lot of the, you know, underground culture is still very much alive here, where I think I've retained that mentality. So Lupe, and then Biff would probably have to be toss up between MF Doom or Nas.
Definitely a good mix up there. I'd probably edge Nas between Doom and him. Just me personally, I think Illmatic's just so structurally sound, as well as Stillmatic, and it was written, you know, just each of them were really wonderfully, you know, realized projects.
Yeah. I mean, Illmatic is forever cemented as one of the greatest hip hop albums of all time, and I still can't, to this day, I can't wrap my head around the fact that he wrote that when he was 18 years old. Like, that's crazy to me.
Yeah, I'm 23 and I'm 23 and I'm still writing, and I'm not even near that capacity. However, speaking to Lupe again, with Circa 91, did you try to embody a lot of those conceptual roots that he brings to the table on albums like Food and Liquor, The Cool, and Tetsuo and Youth?
I don't think it was a conscious decision where I think it was because of Lupe. I think subconsciously that probably happened, but I think I was more looking towards albums like, again, Miseducation of Lauryn Hill and Good Kid, Mad City, where, you know, there was one umbrella theme where for Circa 91, it was, you know, the topic of immigration and family. And with those two albums that I mentioned, it was just, for me, you know, those movies played out like, I mean, those albums played out like a movie in my head, and it was just the way that the songs were, you know, strung together, and the placement of the songs, the skits that were, you know, sprinkled in between the music. It was just very cinematic, and that's what I wanted to accomplish too with Circa 91.
Yeah, I'm definitely a fan of those very narrative-heavy albums. You know, aforementioned, you know, with Tyler the Creator, Wolf was very cinematic in its own development as well. I think that's a very common thing with MCs. Would you agree?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah. All right. So moving on into this interview, I just wanted to ask quickly about collaboration. So recently you collaborated with SZA on a campaign with MasterCard, and that ad was played at the Super Bowl. Do you want to elaborate on that experience, what it was like working with someone who was affiliated with TDE and all that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that still remains, you know, as my favorite experience in my career to this day. So I actually got that opportunity December of 2017. This was just 2 months out from, you know, the release of Circa 91, and the people that were behind this MasterCard campaign actually found me because of the album. I think they came across the Taking Names song through Spotify, and that led to them finding one of my older tracks, Step Your Game Up, and they contacted me and asked me if I wanted to be part of this project. Now, mind you, you know, it's a very high-profile type of gig, so they were very vague with their initial email sent out to me. Was pretty much just like, you want to be part of this campaign about not judging people by, you know, by their looks, by the cover, and we would need you to basically fly in, record, and shoot for this project within 2 weeks. And I remember, you know, thinking at the time when I read this email, this was right before the holidays, so I was planning to go to the Philippines to visit family. And given the short notice, you know, I think it was 2 days before my flight. I think at that afternoon, I was like, "F it, I'll send them a response." Yes, and they had me sign an NDA, which up to that day, I had no idea what NDA even stood for. So I had to Google that, and I came to find out it stands for non-disclosure agreement. And I think that's when I realized when I signed that piece of form, where I was like, I think this is pretty legit if they're having me, you know, complete an NDA. So I thought, I honestly didn't think any you know, much of it. I was in line to get my boarding pass, and I get another email. So I open it up, and they tell me that, you know, we're glad you're on board. The director for this campaign, he really liked your material, and we want to move forward with you. And the only thing is, we need you to fly into New York in about 3 days. And so I'm standing there in line, thinking like, how the hell am I gonna get to New York in 3 days if I'm about to board this 15-hour flight to the Philippines? And in that same email, they tell me one of the things that we do request, though, is that you send us one verse, a demo. It's essentially a demo. We need that by end of tonight. And I remember thinking like, how the hell am I also going to have this recorded? I'm not going to be going home anytime soon. I'm already at the airport. So I'm like sitting there panicking, thinking I'm going to lose this opportunity. And I'm like writing lyrics as fast as I can. And I remember I record my demo by my gate on my phone on the memo app. And I send it over to them, and I think like I really lost my shot with that one, because A, I wrote that verse super fast. B, I recorded on my phone, that quality city. So I board the plane, I land in Manila, and I find internet at the airport, and I get another email, and they said that they really loved the demo, and they you know, are adamant about me flying out to New York, and they're basically on standby with purchasing my ticket. And I tell them that I'm in the Philippines, and you know, they're able to pull the strings and make it happen, and they fly me out actually within 48 hours. So I get back on another plane, and I spend the next 3 days recording in the studio. And the first day that I land, actually they don't have much time. They actually need me to film the commercial first, which is what ended up airing at the Super Bowl, like you mentioned. And that was me actually just lip syncing to what I had recorded on my phone. So the next day is when we get into the studio with SZA, and you know, everything from that, it just becomes history from there. And yeah, like I mentioned, to this day, it's one of my not only favorite experiences, but also I think one of the points of my career where, you know, it really helped me get to the point where I am today, and, you know, opened up a whole lot of doors, and, you know, just an influx of opportunities. And I'm just so grateful that it happened, and, you know, the stars aligned. And even though, you know, I was in the middle of traveling, and I had to just, you know, try to find the resources that I had available at the time, I'm glad that it happened.
Yeah, and honestly, that sounds like a pretty insane experience, just for them to be like picking you just right up the off the bat, and you have to do all that on the fly, pun intended.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's crazy how just like quick that catapulted. I remember because I was following it, and just I was astounded, like just in a good way. It was just like really like, wow, she is going places. So you know, props to you pulled that off. Moving on to the next subject, I just wanted to probe on collaborations with other artists. Are you looking into a possibility of collaborating with another Bay Area artist, say a Locksmith, a G-Eazy, Watsky, E-40, Snow the Product, Jay Stalin, anybody, and anyone outside of the Bay Area as well?
first, I have to say that everyone that you named is super dope, and really, you know, putting, helping to put Bay Area on the map. Specifically thinking about Bay Area artists, for sure, it would be a dream of mine to collab with Locksmith. Like, that guy is an icon in his own right, and just, you know, a legend, a Bay Area legend. This lyricism is crazy. So if that opportunity ever arises, I would love to collaborate with Locksmith. Thinking about my next project that I'm actually starting to work on and hoping to release by the end of the year, if not early next year, I think I definitely have P-Lo in mind. He's an artist that's, you know, been on the rise and helping again to put Bay Area on the map, and someone that I've been running into in person very frequently these last couple of months. So I would love to see, you know, what we can create together. I'm also a big her fan. I know she's from Vallejo. I know that's obviously out of my league right now, but if that ever came about, that would be amazing. She's an amazing singer. E-40, yeah, that's amongst the top of my list. Bay Area legend right there. If I want to collab with, you know, anybody in the Bay, would definitely have to be E-40.
All right, and that's a pretty tight lineup for what it's worth. I have heard P-Lo before. He's pretty solid too. So regarding this project that you're working on, you said it's at the beginning of next year when you're roughly going to be able to release it, or?
If I were to speak realistically, it would probably be more towards the beginning of next year, but I'm just approaching it with the mindset that I'm hoping to complete it by the end of the year. I mean, any time really that I, these days that I get time to write, I'm just trying to set aside, you know, a moment to just sit down and not only you know, come up with new bars, but also reflect on a lot of the blessings that's happened this past year, and, you know, just getting it down on paper. I think especially when you're in the middle of a tour and, you know, you're doing shows back to back, sometimes you get kind of just lost in the moment, and, you know, really get a chance to step back and, you know, take a look at, you know, everything that's been happening. So I'm just grateful that, you know, we're approaching summer, and I'm getting more time now. Like, I think in the next 2 months or so, I'll have more time to get back into the studio and get creative. I want to come out with a new project as soon as possible. As much as Circa 91 really helped me, you know, take my career to the next level, I think it's time in my career now to come up with a follow-up project.
I'm really looking forward to it. Considering also, I meant to ask you this, and we touched on this when we were speaking earlier, but considering your relationship, having worked with Bamboo and his very socially conscious and politically charged messages in a lot of his work, and of course with Circa 91 discussing the social general experiences of the immigratory identity, I guess, as it were. Do you plan on taking more of a gradually politically charged stance yourself, and tackling more issues present in our contentious climate, as it were?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like I mentioned earlier to you, first and foremost, I'm a fan of the music, and when I think about the music that I love, it's always music that is completely honest and raw. That's why I love artists like, you know, Kendrick Lamar. I love artists like Immortal Technique and Bamboo, is because they've been completely unfiltered, and, you know, they actually use their platform to say something, and I want to be that kind of artist where, you know, I'm not here to just fit. I want to be able to have a message in my lyrics, and, you know, actually use my platform to share a message and to share a story and to provide a voice for people who feel like they don't. So as much as possible, I definitely want to continue in that lane, and making sure that, you know, I'm tackling issues that are not only relevant, you know, to what's going on today in our country, but also issues that I find, you know, people don't often talk about. And I think, you know, just speaking of what I've already kind of started to write about, I'm definitely going to delve more into, you know, mental health awareness. I think that's missing in a lot of hip hop that we hear these days, and of course, definitely talking about also continuing to talk about my identity as, you know, being a woman of color, and again also talking about my background and my cultural experiences.
I think that's really awesome, especially considering the mental health crisis too. You know, and as you were saying, there is kind of a vacancy in it. I mean, you do have a lot of like there are plenty of rappers who do discuss it, but I think that's really awesome that, you know, you're going to be tackling such a serious subject. You know, there's definitely artists like Joe Budden and Cage who've touched on those issues before. Aesop Rock, I think, also got into it. You know, obviously the Ghetto Boys have that classic track, you know, My Mind's Playing Tricks on Me.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not alien, but I definitely agree that it doesn't get the representation it needs. And, you know, you even touch a little bit on it in Circa 91 in, like, certain, like, passings, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so generally speaking, I think that's really awesome. So I think that's about all we have time for with this interview. So just going to go ahead and wrap this up. Ruby, where can people find you on social media, and where can they find your music?
For those of you who want to follow my music, follow all the upcoming stuff, especially the album, the next album that's coming out in the next 6 months or so, you can hit me up on Twitter at Ruby Ibarra. That's RubyIbarra. And it's the same handle on Instagram and Facebook.
All right. Thank you very much, Ruby. It was an absolute honor to have you in the studio
I'll be in the studio someday, Tim.
Hey, I'll looking forward to it. Thank you very much,
Ruby. When the weather is better.
Absolutely.